These words hold incredible significance for you and I as we are now approaching the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Let me set the scene here in John chapter 20. This interaction occurred after Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. And he had revealed himself to Mary. He had revealed himself to several of the other disciples, but not yet to one disciple in particular. He hadn't revealed himself as risen to Thomas yet. So the disciples were rushing to tell Thomas of this monumental news here. So let's pick up the story here in John chapter 20, and we'll read verses 24 through 29. Let's see his reaction to this news. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Well, unless I see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now verse 26. Now feel this exchange now that occurs between Jesus Christ and Thomas. Verse 26, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be to you.' And then he said to Thomas," this is Jesus Christ, "'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord, my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.'" Let's stop there. What an exchange between Thomas and our great Savior. Can you imagine this scene? You know, Jesus knew Thomas was there, and he no doubt knew what Thomas had said earlier. And so he enters into the room, the doors close, he says, "Peace be with you," to the group. And then he turns his focus onto Thomas, and he says, "Thomas, I hear you've requested something from me. Well, here I am. Look at my hands, reach your hand here, put it in my side, Thomas. Would that satisfy your unbelief? Then by all means, do so. Because I don't want you being unbelieving, but believing." And then he says these next words, which would go out to all future Christians, all of Christ's disciples, a proclamation. And he says, "But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know, God asks something extraordinary from each and every one of us, something absolutely extraordinary. And that is, he asks us to have a faith and a belief in him, him whom we have not seen. And whether we realize it or not, this may be the biggest challenge for every one of us here today, and even all of God's people, a lack of belief. A lack of a true belief and a true faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ. But this authentic and this deep belief is exactly what is being asked of from you and I. Think about what is being asked of us here in just the mere physical existence that we're in. Christ is asking us to have a belief in a Father. And a belief that that Father then sent his Son. And that Son then stepped upon this earth. He emptied himself of his divinity. A belief then that he shared in our humanity. And that he took on a crown of thorns. And allowed himself to be humiliated and tortured. We're asked to believe that his hands and his feet were pierced. We're asked to believe then with a final thrust of a spear in his side, he lost his life. And then believe then that he did it all for us. Well, do you believe? Or is there a possibility somewhere deep inside, there's a measure of doubt that resides in us. Is there maybe an unconscious desire, just like Thomas, to feel the imprint of Jesus Christ's fingernails or to feel his side where that spear was thrust? Now, before you dismiss that any doubt resides in you, I'd like you to consider something about the upcoming days here, the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Did you know that in many ways, these days reveal and expose our unbelief? One of the purposes of the Passover is to convict us to go through a process by which we pull the covers back on those parts of us that doubt. Because, you see, sin is simply that. Sin is the part of us that doubts. Could we say that if we truly believed with every core of our being that Jesus Christ came and he did this for us, could we say if we truly believed that to every ounce of our body, then would sin have any place to reside? Sin grows and thrives in our doubt. And that's why belief is so important, because your and my behavior often depends on our belief. And success towards overcoming sin can be directly traced back to our belief, the belief that we hold and the depth of that belief. If we truly believe that he was that sacrificial lamb, then our sinful behavior should not only be affected, but greatly diminished. And it's really fascinating. If you think about these two holy days that are coming up, these two days that we'll observe, the Passover, Christ's sacrifice, then followed by the days of unleavened bread, it's really fascinating the relationship that these two days hold. The Passover and the days of unleavened bread really can be summarized in this way. If you believe something is true, you must be willing to act as if it were true. Let me repeat that. If you believe something is true, then you must be willing to act as if it was true. And likewise, conversely, if you're unwilling to act as though it was true, can you really claim to believe it? This is why belief in Jesus Christ, as he represented our sacrificial lamb, is so important. Because what happens is that belief that's instilled in us, it becomes the very substance and it becomes the very evidence of how we live our life. That belief becomes the very substance and evidence of how we live our life. Turn with me to Hebrews 11, if you will. Hebrews 11, and we'll find here this profound understanding here. Hebrews 11, we're just going to read one verse here. But this profound understanding is found in the very definition of belief in God and the faith in him. So Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith, your belief, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let's stop there. When Jesus said to Thomas, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing," Jesus knew that Thomas, truly believing that he had gone through that sacrifice and that he had risen, Thomas truly believing that was going to be the very substance of how he lived his life from that point forward. Faith, your belief, my belief, is the substance of what we hope for. And in fact, what Hebrews is saying here is that it becomes the very evidence of God. Your belief in Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb is then the result of that belief, the evidence, is then shown in our changed behavior. And that's what the days of unleavened bread are all about. This is what the Christian's life is all about. Because really, what's the point? What's the point if we come and we sit Sabbath after Sabbath and we profess to believe, but then go through a life that has not gone through change in how we live, where there's no change in our sinful behavior? Let's turn to James 2, verse 14. We're going to conclude with these verses. James 2, verse 14. Here we're going to read this very thing. We're going to reinforce here why the reason Passover is immediately followed by the days of unleavened bread. James 2, and we'll read verses 14 through 17 here. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Ah, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled,' but don't give them the things in which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, it's dead." Jesus has a legitimate right to say, if you believe that I came, and if you believe that I did this for you, that I sacrificed my life, surely isn't this how you must behave? He has a legitimate right to say that. We can't merely continue in this belief that he is our sacrificial lamb without providing the evidence. And the evidence of it, then, is the removal of our spiritual leavening. And God has gained no profit, it says to himself. He's gained no profit to his work by sending his son to die for us, by opening our eyes to that fact, by instilling that belief, for it to then not have an effect in how we live. So, with the days of unleavened bread, in many ways, God says, show me. Show me you believe. Show me you believe in what my son just did for you. Show me you believe that I sent my son to die on your behalf. Changed behavior should emerge from that belief. One of the most effective tools and spiritual exercise that we can do in preparation for the Passover in the days of unleavened bread is to simply think back. Think back on when your belief was first instilled in you. Think back to that time when that belief in what he had done for you finally hit you to the core. Think back to that time, that belief. And think back to that time and when you came to that understanding. You know, it wasn't simply an exchange of one outward set of beliefs for another. It wasn't simply that you chose to believe in something that was interesting or intellectually appealing. No, it was a belief that invaded you, and it invaded your life. Jesus knew he needed Thomas to believe, and so that he could then take that belief and allow that to be the very substance by which he would live his life from that point forward. We too must get to the point where the depth of our belief is where it's as if we have felt the imprint of his fingernails. The depth of a belief where it is as if we have felt his side and felt that's where that spear thrust into his side. Because make no doubt, it did get thrust into his side. It did, and he did that for us. We must believe he did that for us and allow that belief to be the substance by which we display the evidence of that belief. And that evidence is by removing the sin out of our lives. That's what the Passover and the days of unleavened bread teach us. And if we do that, then we will move further toward that hope that is to come.